Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assurance of your word. When we've been there 10,000 years, you will always be there with us. Loving God, we thank you for your faithfulness true to us. We now come to your word, Lord. Please help me to teach it correctly. May we experience your spirit guiding us into truth as Diane has prayed. And Lord, upon here, understand a little bit more reason why we are the way we are and why we need you. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Inside your bulletin, you will also have a little sermon outline and some Bible study questions that you can do on your own or in a larger group if you choose to do so during the week. I remind you that have started our evening Bible study from 5 to 6 o'clock. You are most welcome to come along to that. It gives us a little bit more insight into the scriptures than what we may see in the morning sermon series. So it's an opportunity to ask questions, delve deeper into the passage that's before us in the morning. And sometimes the sermons are actually recorded if you wish to be able to go back and listen over them today. Well, today we come to the chapter of Genesis chapter 3. And Max, you're a little bit hard on the girls. It's really on the guys, all right? Okay, so it's all of us really here we come today. Well, last week we ended on verse 25 of chapter 2 of Genesis. Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. Now, for those of you who are visiting or new today, we're actually doing a little sermon series over 6 or so weeks on God's creation, a call to care. And we're seeing right from the very beginning that God is showing us, has gone to great length to show that he cares for mankind, and caring for each other, caring for God and caring for one another is being like God. It's the way in which he's desired and designed for us to be. And yet these are the beginnings, the times at the beginning. And this particular part of the Bible is written in the five books of the Old Testament, the first five, as God's people are walking into and taking possession of the promised land. And up to this point, nothing's been written down, but here we have it now being written down so that they might know the kind of people that God desired and designed for them to be and the kind of people that they are. It's sort of an answering a question to not how, but who God is, who their God is, and why they are who they are and what God wants them to be. And so we come today to the third of our teaching time, and the title of the sermon is called Why We Struggle. And we're going to particularly think in an overview way of looking at verses 1 to 19. So let's pray. Let's ask that as we go through this time together, we may know God better. Well, we were left with a picture of life last week as it was in the beginning. God had created the heavens and the earth, and the foundations laid were very good. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds wonderful. But that's not how we experience life today, is it? Nor was it for God's people as they began their new life into the promised land. They were the first to actually be amongst us to hear this message. We with them struggle in life to be like God, to care for his creation and to care for each other. At times we care, but at others we fail to care. We feel cared for by some, but not by others. There are those we find easy to care for and willing to do so, and others we would rather we didn't. And despite our attempts to care as God would want us, we can't and we don't. And there's death and we die. What's happened? Why is it so? Why is it such a struggle to care? Well, the answer is given for us Christians in the third of the chapters of Genesis. And so we turn to that this morning. there was a failure to trust God at his word. It is an original failure that has ongoing ramifications, a failure to keep to the Maker's instructions. You think I'd had learnt my lesson by the age of 19 when I broke my aunt's coloured TV. I was trying to fix it, thinking I could without any qualifications to do so and ignoring the Maker's instructions. But I can name a lot of things I've broken doing the same over all my years. Thinking I knew what the right thing was to do, only failing miserably. And if you are honest with yourself, I guess you too have done the same. It's a foolish thing in the first place to use a tool in a way that ignores the Maker's instruction. All the more foolish to try and fix it when you've broken it doing the same. In verse 1 of chapter 3, we're warned to prepare ourselves for what we're about to hear. Something seems out of the order of very good, but still a part of God's unfolding creative order. One of God's creatures is described as, look with me there, in verse 1, crafty, or in other words, shrewd, or a twister of the truth. In verse 2, it took the initiative to question God at his word, to promulgate doubt in the mind of Eve and Adam that God cared for them, verses 2 to 6. Now, you might think that Adam's not here in the picture, but Adam is in the picture. Adam is there with her. Look down there at verse a little bit further on, right? The verses that are. Adam was there with her. He is a witness to everything that was going on. As the dialogue unfolded, Eve and Adam were correct in thinking the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. You see, to be able to live life God's way, knowing both good and evil, and still be able to live perfectly God's way and manage to be and do so, that and doing that which is only good, knowing both good and evil, is a desirable attribute. It's a God-like attribute, for it is being God-like, knowing evil and good, but only able to do good. For God can do this. And we heard Jesus do it in our reading from Matthew, didn't we? What a contrast to Genesis 3. Jesus knew and experiencing both good and evil, was able to do that which was good only, to trust God at his word and keep it. Be that as it is, they were not told to take of the tree's fruit and eat, for God in his great care for them had made them to be like him, but not the same as him. And besides, God had told Adam not to. The consequence was that God's word was fulfilled. What he said would happen, happened. They began to know both good and evil, verses 7 to 13. But it wasn't good for them to know both. They were not made to manage it. Some little commentator put, it's like putting a V8 engine into a mini miner, all right? They were not made to manage it. And now they struggle to care for each other, themselves, and their relationship with God. They see shame in their nakedness, verse 7. Thinking it's a caring thing for each other and themselves, they reversed God's original intent and set to hide it from each other. What wisdom they now appear to now have to cover their shame proved foolish. They sew fig leaves together to do so. I see a few of you smiling. You may have tried to sew fig leaves together. How many dresses would hold together after a while, just sewn together with fig leaves? All right, I think we'd all be starting to finding some more fig leaves to hide us. All right. What wisdom they appear to have now to cover their shame proved foolish. Aware now of God, they think the caring and right thing to do for God is for him not to see their nakedness. Fearing he would see it, verse 10, in their newfound wisdom, they think they can hide from God. And they tried to amongst the trees they were meant to eat from, and not near the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, hoping, I gather, that that would please God. God was not unaware of what had happened. Knowing what they've done, where they are, and why they've done it, leading on to what now unfolds, he called out to them, "Where are you?" Verse 9. My granddaughter, Evelyn, and I have just started playing hide and seek. Hands up if you play with your daughter or children hide and seek. She's just turned 2 and I count to 10 and off she runs, hiding somewhere in the house. 7, 8, 9, 10. Here I come, ready or not. There's a giggle. I wonder where she is. Is she under the table? No. Comes a little voice and a giggle. Is she behind the door? No. Comes another giggle. Is she behind the curtain? Lots of giggles. And out she jumps. Again? Not the right way to play hide and seek, but it's what she thinks and likes is. To God's call, "Where are you?" Adam answered, verse 10. "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And I take it he thought he had done the right thing hiding from God, hiding what he thinks is the evil of their nakedness. God would not like to see their nakedness, their shame. God knows the only reason they would know that they were naked and think it evil if they have eaten of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, that they had failed to keep their Maker's instruction, that they had failed to trust God at his word. And the foolishness of their newfound wisdom is in knowing both good and evil is seen in all its fullness in their answer to God's probing, caring question. "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Verse 11. What they did next in their answer, verses 12 to 13 and 13, God reveals what they had become, and all mankind, ourselves included, that follows. Concerned for their own welfare and the expense of the other, they fail to take responsibility for what they have done and blame another. We no longer are able to care for our relationship with God properly, with others and ourselves. Concerned for our own welfare at the expense of others, we struggle to care. Knowing now both good and evil, but not made to do so or able to live and care as God desired and designed, as a consequence, every aspect of our lives, verses 14 to 19, is affected. And true to God's word, the caring thing for God to do for his creation is to eventually let us die. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. As in Adam, all die, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. We are left at the end of verse 19 with the thought, so this is why we struggle. For those first hearers of their origins, the people of God, as they entered now their new life in the promised land, this was why they struggled to care properly. And this is why we struggle still today to care. And at the end of the chapter, we are left hanging with the judgment of God. The state of mankind appears to be this: we cannot be what God desired and designed for us to be. Everything had changed. Once what was only very good is now both good and evil, but not God. Not their God and our God. Despite what has happened and for us is, what will God do next to show he still cares? That he hasn't changed despite we have. What will God do now? And what will he now unfold in the story of our beginnings and our now to show us he still cares and we can too? What are we going to learn next in the chapters and verses that follow? I'm going to pray using the Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen.